So I wanted to touch on something tonight. It's something that, well, and I deal with it every single day. Giving our best to God. So if we open up to 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. I'll go ahead and start reading that. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, do these two verses, specifically that second verse, does that apply just to money? Would we say that that applies just to money? What else would it apply to?
Any talent that you might have that you can give to the church cheerfully.
Yes,
sir. If you're a Sunday school teacher, and if you're not cheerful about it, you're not very cheerful.
What did you just read?
So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'll read 7 again. Every man according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So, something else that some people may not do anymore, but a lot of people still do in this room, is every day they go to
bathroom.
Work. They go to work. And that's why I said in the beginning that it's something that I deal with every day, is you get out there and it's like, oh, I gotta deal with this again, or I can't say too much. I gotta deal with this new kid. He's Aaron. Aaron's been helping us. He just helped for a little while he's on a spring break. He did a good job. But there can be some pretty sticky situations you get into. It's hot, or it's cold, the wind's blowing. I joke a lot of times that I look like I'm permanently embarrassed because I come in out of the wind and my face is just bright red. But if we turn to 1 Corinthians, I know everyone probably knows this by heart, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. What does whatsoever mean?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter. That's right. There's another in Colossians. I'm going to flip over to Colossians quick and read a little bit longer excerpt from there. And this is applying more specifically to workers. Colossians 3:22-25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward, the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So, basically, what is this saying? Overall, that in our work or everything that we do, we should do it half-heartedly or wholeheartedly. I heard a really, actually, a very funny phrase today. It's a construction workers one-liner. I'm just here for the income, not the outcome.
There's a lot of that going on.
Exactly. And there's things that we do each day, that I do each day, and, you know, that crosses your mind, like, oh, what's it matter, you know. But if we're looking by what I just read there in Colossians, you know, we're not doing it for us, for our income, or for our boss, we're doing it for God. So what would be another thing that's beneficial, you know? If you're doing something wholeheartedly, you know, do you think others are going to take notice? Or do you think they're going to be like, yeah, he's always working hard and, you know, seems to do his best, but that doesn't have the impact on me.
When I observe other people working in different ways or at different places, one of the things that I observe and can tell if that person has got any ambition or not is if he walks up to a job, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. and he's got his hands in his pockets, that tells me right there that person doesn't have the ambition to mm-hmm. want to get something done. Or if they're walking up there and they got a Pepsi bottle between their two fingers,
yeah,
you know, and of course everybody a lot of people smoke cigarettes too, you know.
Yeah.
But that one walking up to a job with their hands in their pockets tells me, for some reason, that's just me.
They're not.
It might not be anything, but that's just something that I observe and I take note of when I'm watching people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that when I've worked at the nursing home and I work in the kitchen on the evenings, and I know that when I take the time to go above and beyond for them, they recognize mm-hmm. it, they notice it, and they report back to the supervisors and the board that there are some people in the kitchen that go above and beyond for them. Mm-hmm.
I went to wash a dish and Lydia had already done it. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to read this little excerpt from my study Bible. Since creation, God has given people work to do. If we could regard our work as an act of worship or service to God, such an attitude would take drudgery and boredom out of it. We could work without complaining or resentment if we would treat the challenges related to our jobs as part of the cost and privilege of being Jesus' disciples. Now, later in 2 Corinthians, it'd be Corinthians 9:12. I gotta get back. Second Corinthians 9:12. Is that the right one? For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundantly also by many thanksgiving to God. I don't know. I think I may have written that wrong. I may have wrote the wrong verse. Anyways, so like Lydia was saying, you know, other people take notice, and it's not necessarily people that are Christians that would take notice too. I mean, other people who are not believers, you know, notice you going above and beyond. And you know, I've been asked before, you know, why you always seem to be in such a good mood? Like, well, I have a higher calling, more purpose to my life than just showing up to a job to do a job. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I have to have coffee to do that. So, but, you know, I think back, I used to work with a guy a few years ago, and I enjoyed working with him. We had good conversations. He was a nice guy. He'd get a little bit rammy at times, and he ended up one of the loaders that we had at work. It extends out, and he was on a hillside, kind of sitting cattywampus, and he was extending it out, and ended up flipping over. And my boss was Tim. He was irritated by it, but I told him, he said, he was. I know he can be rammy. He wasn't being rammy at that time. It was just, you know, he was trying to do a good job, get the rock where it needed to be. So he was with a group of his peers one time. There was other landscapers who had come to his office to talk about, you know, landscaping stuff and management and leadership and all that. And he asked a couple of us crew leaders to come in and sit down with him. And we were talking about that specific situation and this guy who had worked there. And one of the other owners of the other company said, you know, looks at me and he said, if you could do it over again, you know, and you guys could either hire this guy again in the past or not hire him, you know, which would you have done? And my thought was, well, I wouldn't hire him actually, because not only was he, you know, enjoyable to work with, he got rammy, he broke things and wouldn't tell people, but he was also an atheist. Well, through conversation, I said, are you really an atheist or are you agnostic? Because the things you're referring to, you seem like you're not quite sure. He goes, okay, well, maybe I'd prefer myself, or I would consider myself more agnostic than atheist. And we had good conversations. Sometimes, you know, he participated, and sometimes it was just me talking, but talking about God and the Bible and creation. And the reason why I said, yeah, I would have that guy come back, because, like, who knows what, you know, influence he's had from other people in life.
What the outcome might be.
Yeah, you never know. I ran into him actually last June when we were going to Hannah's dad's funeral. We pulled into the airport there, and I looked down the aisle of the plane, and
wow.
I saw this guy standing down the aisle. So I called him quick, and he's standing there. He was a skateboarder, so he always had, you know, loose jeans, and he picks up the phone, and the first thing he says, he goes, let me guess, you're on my flight to Denver. I said, yeah, I am. So we got off the plane, and he walked with us where we were going. We talked for probably a good 15 minutes. So I don't know. I don't know if I had a good influence or bad influence on him or indifferent, but I hope to think that, you know, he's thought about some of the things we talked about. He actually dates that Haley Long, if you remember.
Oh,
Haley
yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Huh. So another thing in 2 Corinthians, look, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, says, for we dare not make ourselves out of number or compare ourselves with some that condemn themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to unto you. And then later, let's see, is it 18? For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So, what does this sum up, like, how we act towards our coworkers? What does that seem like it's talking about?
Well, I used to work with Randy Morrow, and there's nobody like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't, when the other guys come around here now and start working, I can't compare them to him, because he's just a different kind of worker. He just go. Fivers or 7:30 to 4:30.
And they have their good qualities.
Yeah. And so comparing yourselves to somebody else, and mm-hmm. even though they got good qualities, you can't do that.
Yep.
And so, in the same way in the Christian life, you know, some people are have talents that you can't compare this person to being a better Christian just because, you know, they're a good singer and I'm not. You know?
Yeah.
I've had to go through that because, you know, how are we going to find somebody that's going to be as good as Randy was?
Yeah. neither of their
good,
names.
They're good in their own ways.
Neither of their names rhyme with handy.
That's right.
Handy Randy, they're just.
So
we can't compare ourselves to one another, but we need to compare ourselves to whose standard?
God's.
To God's standard, yeah. Yep. Because this is, well, in the end, it's only the only standard that really matters. So how does my work or attitude measure up to what God wants? That's the basic, if you get down to the nitty gritty, you know, each day that I, you know, have to tell myself if I'm doing, you know, morning devotions while I'm eating breakfast, getting ready in the morning, is how am I going to, you know, respond to today's situations. And there have been plenty of times where I've had to remind myself, I have to keep, you know, a level head and, you know, remember I'm not doing it for the paycheck, I'm not doing it for, you know, necessarily the outcome on earth. But
always room for improvement.
Yeah, yep.
There used to be a guy up there in Washington, Lawrence Whistler, you know him?
Who?
Lawrence Whistler.
Oh, I know.
He named his farm, he said, "This will do farm."
This is.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that's good, you know, that's good enough. I'm not
good
going further in my Christian life. I think I've gotten far enough. That's good enough. This will do.
It also tells you to be content.
Yeah. Be content with it.